you doing, man?
Dude. Got a new refrigerator today.
Oh, good. Did you resolve that satisfactorily?
We did. It is more stressful than it should be.
Arranging
a refrigerator.
Well, yeah. When we got our new one, we just kept our old one and put it in the garage.
We're doing that too. Yep. Okay. So all the...
Well, at least then you could keep your stuff in the old one out in the garage, right?
That's true. But most of the stuff we use, we want in the house.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like no, I meant just like, it wasn't like you'd like, cause you'd have to arrange to get rid of the old one. I guess you could leave it till you make sure you got the new one. I don't know. It is stressful. It's like, there's certain things like cars and major appliances and beds.
You want it to be where you're you.
Yeah. And they make the shopping experience. Yeah, they make the shopping experience crappy.
Less than ideal. Yes.
Somehow it seems to correlate with places where the salesmen get high commissions. I don't know why.
It's weird. So we resolved it by going to a locally owned company.
Oh, that's what we do too. Yeah, we do our appliance shopping with either Sears or... when we were doing renovations when we bought appliances, so we had the renovation store, and it was nice because then we had the general contractor with us, so
that
provides
cool.
A nice buffer, and they they're familiar with them, and they're not going to burn that capital with the general contractor to screw us out of $100, right? So,
right.
I mean, I'm sure we're paying. We're not getting the absolute best deal we possibly could, but you know. We're not getting screwed either. So.
Mm. How are you doing?
I am doing better. Finally.
How's your back?
It's finally, like, it tells me that, it's not ready to go 100%, but if I'm easy on it, I'm not in constant agony. So that's, much, much better than I was before. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, on Saturday, I even felt up to, we had my parents over in our backyard and I cooked and, I was doing fine. And, we ate and then it just started seizing up on me. I'm like, oh, shit. So I just rested most of the day Sunday. And when I sit and I sat in the office and worked today and I'm doing pretty good. So I would lie down every, hour for like 15 minutes.
That's good.
I went and I did PT. So I go back tomorrow. Yeah. So I'm doing weird, strange glute exercises. But it's good. I mean, that's what we pay these people for. So hopefully it will help.
Yeah. My last insurance made it prohibitively expensive to do PT. It's like, do you want me to get the surgery in 2 years, or do you just want me to PT?
Yeah, well, maybe you're not going to have them in 2 years, right? So they
don't care.
They're just running fucking numbers. That's
exactly right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
I hear you.
Yeah, I talked to my. So I had. I don't talked about it, but I had. Hopefully my second to last oral procedure before the end.
Okay.
Last Wednesday, and the surgeon called me today. I was like, hey, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, medicine you told me to use that I thought I had, I don't actually have got that taken care of. Mm-hmm. And she said, so like your pain low. I said, well, it's still like really sore. Mm-hmm. She said, you shouldn't be having any pain at all. Like, well, it hurts here and it hurts here. Mm-hmm. She said, that's I'm a little concerned about that.
Oh.
I'm like, fuck. So she thinks that the implant might not have taken.
Oh. Are you getting an implant? Did I not know? Mm-hmm.
I'm getting two implants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you my implant story?
No, I don't think so.
I know. You probably don't want to hear it now.
No, mine's been horrific. I tell everybody I can because it's been
awful. We can compare. You want to hear my story?
I do.
It's recorded somewhere. I've told someone, but I had a crown crack and I didn't realize it had cracked. So when he took it off to replace it, the crack had gone down into the tooth. He's like, yeah, there's not enough tooth left there to put a crown back on. So I'm like, okay. So I went and got it extracted and then they did the x-ray and like, oh, I have dental insurance. It was going to pay for maybe 50% and it was a shit ton of money, but I'm like, I want decent teeth. And mm-hmm. So yeah, let's do this.
It's important.
It was in my upper back of my jaw. And so like, I didn't have enough bone there. So they did it. They had to do a bone graft. I'm like, okay. So I go in for the bone graft and they were very nice. It was a separate office that was recommended by my dentist. And I like my dentist. He's a pretty smart guy. And these people seemed really professional and it was a young guy and he's doing it and everything. And they give you, I really liked, they made me take like it's not an Ambien or maybe it was the generic Ambien or something, but the point is, like, I was functional. I could walk around, but then I didn't remember it.
Oh.
So if you had pain and you don't remember it, did it really happen? I don't know. So, and it's true. Like, I don't remember that afternoon. It's very, like, misty, hazy. Like, well, I remember people telling me about it. So am I remembering that? Anyway, it's an interesting metaphysical question. But, So that's fine. So, but like 3 days after I have that done, so, they put the bone graft in there and they put a little netting across and all that. And then I get a stomach bug, vomiting. Well, guess what got infected?
Yep.
So like, is it infected? It feels a little tender. Okay. Try. And I hate going on antibiotics, but they're like, okay, try these. And I went on these antibiotics and then a couple of days later, it's still getting worse. It's like, well, how do you know? Well, my snot's kind of green. And she's like, okay. So they brought me in and they cleaned it out. Another Ambien. I remember that one a little more. And then they put me on super duper antibiotic, which set me back like 2 months, like just destroyed me. But killed the infection, killed everything. And okay. Then they had to wait like 6 months for everything to die down.
Yep.
Redid the bone graft. This time it went okay. Bone graft had to sit there for God knows how many months, three or four at least. Go back to my dentist to measure the implant. My teeth had moved.
Yep.
There was not enough space to put the implant in. You're going to need braces for six months. So, okay. I got now here's the great thing though. I mean, and it was just, and then finally it all, like the braces went in and then we got the implant and it's doing fine now. And it doesn't bother me at all. And I love it. But they were really awesome. Like I told them, I didn't pay after that first bone graft got infected. I didn't pay a damn thing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, it's not your fault. I will pay. They're like, no. I'm like, I'm not going to sue you. Yeah. So, I mean, I would, if I had the choice, I would pay and not have that happen, but still that was very nice. And then my dentist, like when he was like measuring the implant is like, and he's kind of holding his head and is like, well, we can't put it in and he just charged me his cost for the braces. So I got out of it fairly cheaply.
So our stories are very similar.
Okay.
So I originally broke the tooth. I fell off my bike and bit the edge of a curb. I think it was 8th grade.
Oh, okay.
And so we went to a dentist and he put a cap on it. He did a root canal and put a cap on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was my sophomore year of high school. Like, I was my mouth a little tender, but like I would get cankle the time, and so if my mouth hurt, like it wasn't that big of a deal. Just pain, but I woke up one morning and my face had swollen and like my right eye was swollen shut basically, and just the entire right side of my face was swollen. So we went to the ER. Turns out there was an abscess that had gotten infected above the root canal. So my mother took me to a dentist who, and we went back to this guy after this, but he you know, so they do the gel and they do the shot. And mm-hmm. after the shot, they wait a few minutes typically.
Mm-hmm.
It went like this. It gel, he walked out, came back with the syringe probably 90 seconds later, did a shot. And without waiting, like he put the syringe down and grabbed the, I'm going to say pliers, and ripped the tooth out.
I bet you felt it.
Oh, it hurt. Like, that's one of those things. And I don't have a memory, but that pain.
Yeah.
Is.
But you needed an Ambien.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed something.
Yeah. And then when I had my wisdom teeth out, they gave me nitrous. Nitrous is good too.
I had that for, yep.
Yep.
And then he sprayed iodine there.
Uh-huh.
And then let that sit. And so that was just excruciating. So I didn't have a tooth for a while. This was
when you were in high school. You had it.
I was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so he gave me a partial, what they call a flipper, which just, I hate that term because it's my front right tooth.
Uh-huh.
And so that was going to be a temporary fix. But like my mom had shitty insurance and this guy, like her stuff happened and it was bad. And then I spent 3 years in the military and never got it fixed for some reason.
Yeah, because they would have paid for it, right?
They would have paid for it. Yeah. I don't, like, looking back, how did they not say, hey, let's get this taken care of?
Yeah, yeah.
So then I finally, you know, it was one of those things, and I would go get estimates, and they're like, yeah, it's going to be $15,000. Well, wow. I don't have $15,000 for my teeth.
Yeah, mine wasn't that much. Mine was like six or seven.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mine wasn't a front tooth, though. That maybe that makes it harder. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, I just never did, because that's a lot of money, and I just didn't do it. Well, my teeth started moving. Just, you know, kind of like you're saying. And so I started biting on tooth that's next to what's supposed to be. So I finally go in, I'm like, fuck it. You know, I'm just going to pay what it costs to get fixed. Because, right. You know, I still have probably 40 more years with these teeth.
Right.
Let's fix it. So I go, same thing, just like you're saying. I go, and I went to a maxofacial surgeon, like, you know, top of the guy.
Right, right.
And I had decent insurance, and so we do the bone graft. Well, he's in there, and he had already done, like, the 3D MRI thing, and says, well, you have two teeth up there in your jaw.
Oh,
I said, that's weird. Yeah, I said, that's weird, because I had two teeth taken out of there when I was younger. He's like, there's two more. So we'll get those out, and we'll bone graft everything in, because if I graft over those, it's probably going to fail, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So I get the bone graft, same thing.
I have a feeling this is why it was so expensive, yeah.
Maybe that's
maybe,
part of it.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe.
So his portion ended up being like $6,000.
Okay.
So he does all that, and I go back a few months later, everything's healing. He refers me to the dentist he recommends. I go to the dentist, he says, you know, just like you, we're going to need to do some orthodontia to get everything fixed, but we'll be good. So he does the first step of his thing. Then I get laid off.
Oh, jeez.
Like the day before the next part of the procedure. And my company didn't say, okay, your insurance is good through the end of the month. It's terminated now. Jesus. So I call them, is there anything you can do to, you know, help me out? They said, no, if your insurance isn't good, then we can't do anything. At my new job, it's like, you know, the start of the next month plus, I think, 90 days at the time. They've changed it since then. Well, so then, you know, at the 90 days, I go to the dentist and they're like, you don't have this, you know, where's your ID card? Well, you know, I never had one. Well, it turns out HR never submitted my dental insurance.
Oh, fuck.
So then it's another 60 days.
Oh, my God.
So then, you know, I go back to that dentist. They don't accept my insurance. So then I have to find a new dentist. So then I finally get in with a dentist. I do the orthodontic.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half. So that's $5,000. I've paid, you know, the first guy $6,000. Now $5,000 for the orthodontia. And so then I finally get in to a new, she's a periodontist. She's like, yeah, that's great. Let's do this. Yada, yada, yada. She takes x-rays. All the bone that got put in is now gone. It's all been
does
ripped.
It not stay around?
It
oh
doesn't,
my God.
Because it doesn't have anything to stick to. So it just got absorbed. So I had to do the exact same bone graft again. But she was like, well, you know, if you do both, because I have another tooth that, you know, failed root canal, yada, yada, yada. If you do them both, I'll basically give you like a 125% for two kind of thing. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So she did the bone graft, then did the implants. And then, so I got the collars put on Wednesday. But now if this, because she said even between her graft and the implant, she saw some
orthodontia. Oh,
so, Jesus. So yeah, I'm going to be into these two teeth about $20,000.
Oh my God.
Which when people talk about, you know, oh, you know, we need universal healthcare. It's like, it shouldn't be $20,000 to fix two teeth. Like it's because if I fix these, then the two teeth on either side are going to go. And then, you know, it's just a fucking domino.
I don't even think anyone's really including dental care and all the shit we're talking about too.
No, but it's just one of those things.
I totally agree. I mean, I think it's included in other countries. It's just,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's like, why do I have to decide between like having a car to drive to work and having healthy teeth? That's fucked up.
And if I didn't have teeth, I couldn't have my job. So, it's horrifying.
Yeah. Well, I just my brother, who is the meth addict, sometimes homeless, although he's back with my parents now. Hooray! Oh, he has lost like all his teeth. Mm. So, and I get chills. Just freaks me out.
Does he wear dentures?
Yeah, he's got like dentures, and my wife is a very, very caring person, and so she, up until this last go round, she was actually trying to help him out, and she had convinced me that we would pay for like a nice set of dentures, you know, with posts to anchor them on and stuff, and but you know, he never even followed through on that. It's like, you know, she's gonna spend thousands of dollars on you, kid, and he's just too effed up to even anyway. But you know, the whole situation with dental care and healthcare is just a mess. But anyway,
it's crazy.
But anyway,
so I go back in 10 days, and hopefully, they're going to do another test because she said she'd think.
If she's concerned about your pain, is she's not going to see you sooner, or did she give you some other medicine?
She's not going to see me sooner. No.
I'm really concerned about your pain. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I mean, there's mixed messages there.
She's not even going to see me. So she's like a traveling periodontist. So she's at my dentist's office once a month.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So I'm going to see my dentist in 10 days. And then if he's concerned, then I'll see her 2 weeks after that.
And the pain is still, it's still bugging you? Still sore?
It's just sore.
Okay.
So it's my front right tooth, and the pain is like at the base of my nose.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I said that to Erin, she's like, I wonder if you have another abscess. I'm like, motherfucker, I better not have another abscess. But they've done X-rays, and she said everything looked good.
Yeah.
And she tested it, like she torqued it. Yeah. So like, and I saw the x-rays, like there's bone around.
If you had an abscess, I mean, your things swell up and it'll go south pretty quickly. Yeah.
So I'm hoping everything's fine, and it's just one of those things that
it's just Everclear might fix that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I found Everclear and Flexerol will fix just about anything.
I don't need Flexerol.
Mm.
But I think, because even like while she was doing this with the collars, I didn't know what to expect. And then, you know, they're cutting my jaws or my gums open again. It's like, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't ready for it. And I just, and I think the reason I didn't get it taken care of in the arm is because I had bad experience after bad experience with oral surgeons and dentists.
Yeah.
And so and I
the think guys just, in the army are probably not top.
They're
of
not
the
great.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I'd have a chiclet or something. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. No, there was that guy on YouTube who would take stones out of his driveway and do his own dental work. Something like that.
I haven't seen. That's horrifying.
Oh, it was from like 15 years ago. But yeah, he thought, well, I mean, perhaps rightly, he thought, you know, dentists were way overpaid. And so he would grind the stones to fit and then like grind off. He would do his own grinding off of his cavities and then glue the stones onto his teeth. It was like, I don't know how, like, I can't imagine that lasted for more than like 6 months before she started cracking. It's like, you know, material science is hard, dude. And biomaterials are even harder.
Yikes.
But he saved money.
That's right. That's all that counts.
Yeah. Teeth are not my favorite.
Yeah.
And then, like, and, you know, I'm like super, like, I go in and my dentist is good. Like, he'll do the swab, like when I'm getting a filling or something, right? And then he'll shoot me with a Novocaine. He'll come in like 5 minutes later, poke stuff. Yeah, I can still feel it. Yep. He has to like shoot me like four times.
Yeah.
And my wife goes in and gets a filling with no Novocaine.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, she also delivered a child with no epidural being induced.
Show off.
I just don't think she feels pain like other people do.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. But yeah, well, she really hates the needle. I'm like, I don't care. My gums are numb. Like, I can feel the needle pressing on me. It's a little disconcerting, but man, I wouldn't want to feel
yikes
the grinding. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To each their own.
I like to joke with people because I go in and I have my tattoos all out. I'm like, yeah, I have a problem with needles. And they kind of look at me.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. That's an icebreaker.
You know, my mom, we were, was it on her birth? Yeah, we were going to the coast. Her birthday's in December. We're going to stay for a weekend away. And we stopped at this town, Salem, actually. There's this breakfast place there. We were walking around, and my mom is a complete and utter klutz. And like these kids were like walking by and like chatting with each other, and she was like got all flustered and like fell flat on her face. Mm. And this was like her birthday's the day after Christmas. This was like Christmas break, and so like, and she like cracked. So we're going down to the coast to be at the coast for like 3 or 4 days in a rental house, and there's nothing. You know, the coast is pretty deserted medical wise. And so we're driving around Salem and nobody's open because it's like the week of Christmas. Anyway, so that was fun. So now she's walking around. She's had to go through this whole, I think she's getting an implant also, but she's got a little spacer that she can put in there. But when she comes over and visits us, she just leaves it out. So she got this big gap.
Yeah.
I look at her, I'm like, ugh, mom.
That's great.
She just smiles at me. Me.
I'm not quite there. I'm more vain than that, I think. So Cameron sees it. He's like, Daddy, can I see your tooth come? So nice. Pop out the flipper for him.
Nice.
Ready for it to be done.
I can empathize. It sounds like you're even worse than I am because it went on longer.
Yeah. It's so long. And part of it's my own fault. Like, you know, if I'd gotten it fixed.
I mean, my teeth are my own fault too, because, you know, I got on a candy bar and beer binge in grad school and didn't really brush my teeth much. And then I went to the dentist and like had like 8 fillings at one time. And then it got worse from there. So, but you know, you got to learn those things to realize that
no one can teach you that lesson.
Got all the electronic gear. I got the water pick and clean all that shit out, man. And I tell my son, I'm like, you're going to have to learn this on your own, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Take good care of your teeth. But look at your uncle.
Tell my daughter too. Like, you have a she doesn't have it like at the time. You have a boyfriend. How are you not brushing your teeth?
Yeah.
But they just
I mean, just don't care. Smell down, but
right.
Whatever.
I'm gonna say, so the last time I got my teeth cleaned, the hygienist was like, you know, your teeth really stained, dude. Drink a lot of coffee. And I said, yeah, you know, but my teeth cleaned and then everything's fine until you know, a month before next time, and they started staining again. Well, I came home and like the next day they were even worse. And she told me, you know, you should probably be using fluoride. And my fast like, you know, movie star white teeth, just, and she doesn't do anything. She just brushes her teeth and flosses.
Do you guys have fluoridated water?
We have chlorinated water.
It's not, it doesn't have fluorine, because that was the other thing. Yeah, it probably does. But when we moved to Ithaca, which actually for a while had a socialist mayor, and don't fluorinate, because, you know, people think it, you know, causes brain tumors or I don't know what, you know, the same thing that 5G does.
Right.
Yeah. But that's when my tooth were the absolute fucking worst. So shocker. But anyway.
So she gave me like, go buy this. Just, she said, go buy the Green Act mouthwash from the grocery store. It's like $4 and it has the most fluorine of any of the mouthwashes. And so now I have a whole team. Like I have the whitening one, I have Listerine, I have the Act, and my teeth are doing good. And I told Aaron, I said, it's weird, like, person I am, I don't want to leave. Aaron buys like $100 shampoo, right? And I buy I buy the store brand Head and Shoulders.
Kirkland.
Right, yeah. And I'm the guy that doesn't want to believe that name brand and high end products work, but all this shit I'm using shows that it actually works.
It sometimes it does.
And it's,
sometimes
and it's it's frustrating.
Yeah. Right, you just got to know which ones it's important for. That's shampoo, it does not, right? At least for our hair.
Not for my hair. Yeah, it's too short.
Yeah. Yeah. But
then anyway. If she buys, you know, like, so yeah, she'll buy $100 shampoo and then buy store brand yellow mustard. Like, come on. Give me give me the 50 cents, please.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because you can taste the difference. You could put those things on my plate, and I would be able to tell you.
Yeah. Maybe not mustard, but ketchup. Don't buy store brand ketchup.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't like
ketchup. Are we talking condiments?
Yes.
We're talking name brand versus store brand.
It's been a long, strange trip. The garbage time of all garbage times.
Well, I've been meaning to ask you, Doug, for some time now. Have you tried the Portland brand ketchup?
I can't. Ketchup almost always has sugar in it, so, and I don't really like ketchup that much. So, or high fructose corn syrup, which is essentially sugar.
Yeah, you know, I got to look at the label because, man, it's good, and it is not like any other ketchup I've had in my life.
My son likes it. My son likes it. I mean, yeah. I could make homemade ketchup with honey, but I really don't like ketchup that much.
It's and it's probably not gonna be very good.
Yeah, I'm a mustard. Mostly mustard, and sometimes on burgers I'll use mayo, but sometimes.
And one of the best things about getting Chinese cuisine is going and getting the, you know where I'm going, right? Getting the barbecue pork with the hot spicy mustard.
It's so
hot. Oh man, it's like
clear your sinuses out.
Yeah, the pork is the reason to eat the mustard. I mean, it's just, it's a delivery mechanism. Vehicle. Just give me the mustard.
Well, my dad used to grow horseradish.
So
you slice that stuff up and put it in a little vinegar.
Tell
that's
me
good
more.
Stuff. Well, then my parents just got me, because I like hot stuff, they just got me sharp cheddar cheese with ghost peppers. I was in the kitchen this morning and I was doing some eggs, and I put a little bit on top and I tried a piece and I'm like, my son like, are you okay? And I'm like, just trying that cheese. He's like, oh.
And it burns that ring of fire.
That's right. Well, that'll be tomorrow morning, but sure.
Yes, exactly. Do you like Thai food?
Yes. Well, I worked with a guy. We'd go to this one Thai restaurant. And then, like, you know, the next morning, it was when we had the Motorola text pagers. And, like, he would just love, he's like, oh man, that tie's coming back to me. like, don't use your thing in the stall, you dumbass. It's like, ugh, so gross.
But that's half the fun.
I know.
It is.
I would say it's about 15%
of the fun. Yeah. Well, I don't get out any surface because I mean, there's just like, if you can smell something anyway, like a people like
you hear
people like, you know, playing their little games inside the stalls, like, mm-hmm. ugh, just do.
Yeah, it's bad enough.
Yeah,
it's bad enough.
Or, you know, having the conversation. I'm like, yeah, I can hear everything you're fucking saying, dude. It's that wall is not soundproof. The 2 foot gap at the top and the 6 inch gap at the bottom might be a giveaway, but whatever. It's the same reasoning when my 2-year-old son would cover his eyes and think he was hidden, right? So,
out of sight, out of mind.
Oh my! How you doing, Pete?
Good. Good to be here. Good to be hanging out with you guys.
It is. This is a very low-key session. I actually have prepped a little, but we're really just going to be riffing, so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I actually cracked open the book, the GURPS Ogre book, this afternoon.
Oh, nice.
And immediately started napping, which was quite pleasant.
Yeah, very nice.
I was fine with that. I was absolutely fine with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was doing a little research. I'm feeling pretty good about all this stuff. We can go in many different directions. So, I actually am empty, so I'm going to go get another drink. So I will be right back.
Infuse thyself.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm drinking Redbreast tonight, so I'm classy.
Oh, that good classy bottle that you were able to find. I'm enjoying this map, though, just looking at this.
It's so good.
And we actually have the counters. You can act, oh my god. It's like Vassal, but better. Look at that. Oh, this is such joy.
I don't have a name. Did you make a character? I didn't make a character.
No, I haven't done a ding-dong thing.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a Zerotion. But he did prep.
Yeah, I thought it was Zero Session too, because wow, maybe we're character sheet and everything.
Yeah. Maybe where we're going, we don't need characters.
We are actually GEVs, so our stats are done.
That'd be all right.
Wow, look at this stat sheet. I cannot pronounce these names, so I'm going to think that this is some sort of pan-European character. And this guy's got to be like Romanian or something. Abrio Cloziv. Wow. Yeah, definitely.
Put that back.
I am back.
I was just remarking on the character names, Doc, that you have loaded up in here.
Those are they're auto-generated from Roll20.
Ah, because I was wondering if they were Romanian or something. Just look.
Can you guys edit them? I'm curious.
I think so.
Because I set them to all players, but sometimes if you do that before you guys have joined.
Yep, I can do all this.
Oh,
stuff.
Nice.
This is different than the.
Yes, there were two options on the GURP sheet, so we could. I think I don't know if I can still switch over to the other one, but I could make another room if we don't like this one. I mean, maybe we're used to the other one. I don't know. It looked more colorful, so.
Color's good.
Yeah.
Doesn't have, I mean, we're, oh, yeah, it does.
It had everything that I could see. It has a separate thing for powers, but we're not really going to be. But it does have advantages that are under traits. Oh, I'm looking at your thing at the same time.
Yep. I was looking for this, the modifiers for cold shots.
Yeah. Yep. And does it have range? It doesn't have range, it looks like. Which the other one does have. But
that's right.
I kind of like this name. I'm gonna truncate it though.
Okay. And yeah, go for it.
Call him Maki.
I did the same thing.
Very nice.
Yeah, I saw what you did. It looked
Maki. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, done. Done. I like it. I'm in.
All right. Well, what are you guys drinking?
Negroni.
Nice.
We had it.
Crikey IPA.
Okay. Crikey?
Yeah, Crikey.
Crikey.
What were you going to tell a story, Jason?
Oh, we had Asian food for dinner. And that's always like, you know, if you're having if you're having steak, you have a Negroni. If you're having Italian food, you have a Negroni. So my story wasn't really going where I thought it was. You're having Asian food, and I never know what to drink with Asian food.
Sounds like a Negroni might work.
Yeah, I think a Negroni pairs just fine with Asian food.
Very nice. So, for our listeners, this is session zero of a GURPS campaign we're going to do in a GEV/Ogre universe, sometimes called the Factory States, which is a post-apocalyptic, what is it called? What is the war called?
Oh, what is the war?
The Final War?
That's just when I started napping.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Napping while reading RPGs is
the last war.
The last war. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
So the
war
time.
The war.
Okay. Yeah. It's about 2200 ish plus, I think, right? Or 21? Maybe it's 21. I have written that down in the Google Doc.
2105 is when the factory states start.
Okay. So, and then we would have to decide. We're going to decide how far after it. But the final war was fought, if you're familiar with the, and you know, this is for the listeners, of course, I know Jason and Pete are familiar, with the hardware that you would find in the Ogre/DEV games. So you have monster tanks and hovercraft and all kinds of cool shit that we grew up on when we were teenagers. And so the idea is that, you know, the world has devolved into these city-states. Some of them may be run by the AIs that ran the factories, or, you know, maybe a rogue ogre, which was also controlled by an AI, has taken over a city-state. Maybe they're benevolent. Maybe they're tyrannical. Who knows? Maybe they're enclaves of pure humans, and you know, we've got the room to build all kinds of crap. So it's up to us. And so Jason turned me on to this Gygax 75 thing, and I really liked the beginning. So it's like a 5-week program. The first week was the best. The where you do world building, the kind of after that, it says design. I guess the region map was okay, but then it's like draw a dungeon and stuff. So I'm not sure we're gonna have dungeons, but the beginning stuff where you basically make a list of pitch points, you talk about what your inspiration sources are, you make a board, a mood board where you put pictures in. So that's all in a Google Doc I've put together. I won't read through it, but I've kind of gone over the major pitch points. But one of my inspirations maybe was the Rat Patrol, which is that old series where you got the guys in the desert in World War II, special forces kind of harrying the Germans. I don't know how much warfare we want to make it. Maybe it'd be more post-apocalyptic, but just that you know, you've got a couple guys riding around in a really fast, lightly armed vehicle. So, you know, like a cavalry scout, small special forces unit. Doing special forces things.
Harrising.
Yes, harrising.
As the British might say in Rat Patrol.
So how you guys, Pete and Jason, does that sound, I mean, I think you guys are on board with this, but.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
that's great.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything you want to, like, throw in there? Tweak?
So I know you've gone back and forth, and I do like the idea of this being kind of an open table-ish kind of situation where people can jump.
Yep.
I would prefer to kind of keep in that rat patrol, and I guess sometimes they would have two little jeeps.
Right.
But I like the idea of us being in one GEV.
Okay.
And so is that just a pilot and a gunner, or is that...
Usually. In the GURPS GEV book, a standard GEV has a pilot and a gunner.
They have the mini GEVs too that have one. So if we got Sammer, we could have somebody going solo.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking, because Sammer was supposed to be in here. He had to bow out, but he could join in, or you know, it would be an easy way to have three people where you have a crew. Now, I mean, You know, when you guys are making characters, you'll have to decide, it would let you specialize a little more. You know, one guy could be much better at gunnery. One guy could be much better at piloting.
Somebody gets to be the goose.
Exactly.
Somebody's mad. Although
Goose really never got the shot to shoot anything, so.
I'm a good goose.
Yeah. So you guys
one thing. One Go thing ahead. That comes to mind in general storytelling is, all right, we get to pick our setting here because there are many different points we can jump in.
Mm-hmm.
No real preference, but something in me likes the idea of lost cause. You know, like we're part of a force that has been decimated, disbanded. Or is long gone, or I don't know. I just like the idea of being kind of outsidery, and being able to.
When you said lost cause, I thought, you were baiting me because you were referring to the Confederacy. But I see what you mean.
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey, so that's
I got it. Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
My lost cause has an entirely different meaning.
But I see what you're saying. Yes, the yeah, how do I capture that? Let's see. I don't know how to word that.
I don't know, Jason. Do you have any reaction to that or thought? Or
I dig that because it kind of gives us something to fight for. And I can't remember. So there's the Pangalactic States. There's the
Combine
and the Combine.
And
European. Not Pangalactic.
Pangalactic Gargle Blasters.
Yeah.
And the Combine is kind of the U.S., right? And
it's the Americas, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the Pan-European.
Well, I mean, that's all that matters.
Right. So, you know, if you might be able to, like, that map, we're not necessarily going to use that map, but, you know, I have this ERPS ogre mapper, so I drew that. But, you know, it's very Seattle, Oregon-esque.
So we could be like a Combine enclave holding out against the Neon Empire. Like, that.
Good.
I think that's cool.
Okay. I think that's actually very interesting because they did invade. So that would probably put you on the western coast of what used to be the U.S.
Right.
Okay.
Which we're all relatively familiar
with. Yeah. You don't even have to be. I mean, you can have been Combine. Like, the Combine really doesn't exist anymore as an
industry. That's true. Yeah.
And if you read and we can change this too, but the Combine was kind of a shitty place to live.
Yeah, it was.
It's a real 2020 vibes.
Yeah, it's shocking. But, you know, they controlled everything, and there wasn't a lot of personal freedom and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totalitarian state. But hey, you'll always be fed. Yep. You'll always be entertained. Mm-hmm. You'll always be well. Just our way. And don't ask any fucking questions. That was kind of the Combine.
Whatever the situation, like, you want to be the underdog is what I'm kind of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that sounds good.
So, Pete, do we want to keep it kind of close to that 2005? And maybe we're veterans fighting with old Combine gear?
Yeah, you know, kind of immediate wake of the last war kind of thing. You know, and this is where you can get into some interesting rise of the factory states and start hearing some rumors of like, what? They're like, we always knew they were self-aware, but like they're actually trying to establish cities? What? You know, some of that mystery to it.
We could even go Battlestar Galactica with this shit where you guys are fleeing and like there's all kinds of shit you encounter as you try and survive. You know, and
So maybe we're a human enclave and some factory states are starting to build up. Nihon is still trying to occupy. I like that.
Yeah.
And when I say, I mean the new Battlestar Galactica, not the old one. Although I like the old one too, but they really didn't emphasize it as much.
That was my, the new one was my vasectomy reversal show. I binged that all while I was recovering. Yeah.
It was a bag of peas.
Exactly. Yep.
Man, it was,
did they give you a bag of peas for the reversal too?
Oh,
or is that just for the
original? I'm assuming they make you buy your own bag of peas.
I had to buy my own peas, but it was, it would was be much, funny, though, much worse. Like
one of those clear front refrigerated things
and it's not even like. It's not even like plastic balls. It's just actual 89 cent peas from.
They would have like
exactly
Dollar General
blue medical labeling,
medical grade testicle peas, testes peas,
testes peas.
Gonna make take my
Yeah, they should have that and a Jameson cabinet right next to it, and then all for it. And like a roll dispenser of like baseball tickets. So you go in, you get your peas, you get your Jameson, you get two free baseball tickets. Great. Thank you. Goodbye.
Good. All right. So we've got a sense. And so we're thinking West Coast. Maybe Northwest for.
We go there. I'm digging this map because it's evoking
cyberpunk there.
Yeah, it's evoking the I-5 corridor here to some degree.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that way I can bring, familiar locations into our campaign. Excellent.
Like Applebee's.
Willamette.
Free. Buy one app, get one free. All right.
Although up here it's more like Shari's.
Yeah, do you really say Shari's? You don't say Sherry's?
I say, well, I would also call it Shari's, just to class.
Have you ever heard it called Shari's? My wife's shaking her head. She's never heard that.
Really? Yeah. And you call it Sherry's?
Shari.
Yeah. And what do you say?
Sherry's.
Sherry's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to call it Shari's. So that's
sure, Shari's. That sounds classier. It's like Target.
I'm going to Cherie's for some key lime pie. Back off.
Do you know what Cherie's is, Jason?
No.
It's like a diner. It's like a chain diner. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, they do good eggs.
Better than Applebee's.
It's kind of like a
Waffle House kind of thing.
Kind of. Or Denny's. It's a Denny's.
Denny's.
It's a Denny's that's known for its pies. You go there
and
get the pie.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a Marie Callender's.
And they're always better than Marie Callender's.
Wow.
You step down into them. It's kind of like
a 70s living room.
Yeah, like the spaceship Jupiter from Lost in Space, but it's kind of sunk down into the ground. It's always kind of cool going in because you're like eye level with the sprinkler system when you're eating your pie. It's great. I love it.
Yes. Yeah, we can have Sherry's.
Okay, that's my one request.
There may be espresso stands that pop up out of nowhere.
Are there bikini baristas in the 27th?
Oh my gosh, man. We just got a bikini beans down the street from me.
It's so like, terrible.
Is that really what I think it is? And one of my coworkers said, terrible. Yeah, it's great. You get coffee from girls in bikinis. Like, that's none of that makes sense to me.
No. Well, no, yeah. None of it adds up.
I don't want to see Hooters, a 19-year-old. No, I'm not a fan. No.
Yeah.
I'm not a strip club guy. I'm not a Hooters guy.
Hooters never really, because their wings were good. but they weren't. You know, it's not hard to do decent wings, but anyway.
Yeah, I got to write radio commercials for them years ago for the
Hoosiers. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a real proud moment in my career.
As long as the check clears, right?
Oh, look, we've already answered some of these questions. What year is it? We're going to say, so the war ended 2105, let's say like
21. Well, I mean, the war ends in like 2096.
Yeah, that kind of dragged. So let's say 2105, is that what you're saying?
That's when so I think we need to be in the interface, because the factory states start in 2105.
Okay. So,
between 2092 and 2105.
So
dawn of the factory cities.
So maybe a couple years after the war, like 2094 or 5?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put that down. So this is a enclave. The society you belong to is an enclave of the Combine. Tell me about the society you guys belong to, right? They've got, they've got Combine military hardware.
Mm-hmm.
How much? Let's figure out what this society's like. How many people? How many settlements? You know, how do you survive?
I mean, if we're gonna go for the BSG thing, I think one settlement.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know, Pete. What are you thinking for size?
Yeah, it's a really good question. The thing that immediately comes to mind is there would be one larger metropolitan area that's probably trying to get up and running again. And then the outlying areas are probably kind of, and I hate to sound trite, but Mad Max-y. And when I say Mad Max, it just makes me think of sparsely populated, but they're still people leading some degree of normal life. You know, mm-hmm. You're thinking like that first movie, you know, there are still diners and stuff like that where people hang out and, mm-hmm, you know, sure. There are little places where they have auto repair shops and junkyards and people are still kind of
sounding very auto-dually too. I may have to
get Yeah. something like that.
Okay.
Where, you know, it hasn't completely fallen apart.
Right,
in the Badlands, but it's a hair's breadth away from fall.
I was picturing more post-nuclear, but I like that. I like Go ahead, Duck.
I was going to say, I think we definitely need. So you know, I mean, the weapons of the ogres and GRVs are nuclear, right? You know, there's going to be areas, I think, but I think we can still have areas that are, you know, especially like Pete says, the outlying areas. Mm-hmm. You know, there can be small towns that right. You know, have no strategic value, where, you know, maybe they're, you know, they bring in
doing
enough,
real well.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe they form some sort of independent collective, but they still allow, you know, visitors to come in and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they're tactical nukes, so they're not as devastating, right? As
correct. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So if we're like going off the I-5 corridor thing, pardon, Jason, but like Vader, Washington could be like a little rural outpost, right? Mm-hmm. And Vader, Washington is a little town about halfway between Olympia and Portland it's right by Mount St. Helens.
Yep.
You know, I'm just using that as an example, like, you know, some mm-hmm. people hold up mm-hmm. down there.
Sure.
And I'm taking some inspiration from your map too, that you have up here. And I'm looking just east of what could be Seattle and seeing two big slag heaps where Redmond and Bellevue would be.
Right.
Oh, yep. That might be interesting. Microsoft, if, like, yeah, exactly. You know, what if like Microsoft went into AI development and they already have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you get the idea.
Olympia to Longview is probably pretty reasonably populated, whereas like Tacoma, Seattle is pretty fucked up. Portland,
so
pretty fucked up.
Yeah. So the medium sized towns are.
Longview's a great example.
Yeah, medium-sized towns more likely
right there on the river, and
mm-hmm. it's doing well. Fresh water.
Yeah, it's a port.
Mm-hmm. In fact, let's just go with. Let's go with. You know, at some point in the last war, you know, there was, they were trying to build up a factory in Redmond, perhaps, and with some new exciting technology that, you know, some of the remnants of Microsoft people had put together. But then, you know, out of the blue one day, you know, these mushroom clouds blossomed to the east of Seattle, and nobody really knows what happens, except that, you know, one of the East Asian AIs put out a gloating message on the web, saying that, you know,
on 9chan. Such and such,
yeah, exactly. 9chan, some sort of
the 9chan Slack channel.
Yeah.
Sure. No, that's good. I like that. I like that a lot.
Okay, so we've got Combine military hardware. I wanted to the idea I had, so you guys are, one of the things you're gonna, and I know Dave always loves this, like with your air raft and Traveler not working, but keeping your hardware working is going to be a thing. And I almost wonder, you know, in Starcrawl, they have this idea that your spaceship is a character. It's an NPC, but yeah. I think your GEV should be a character.
We need
right?
a sheet. Yeah. Mm.
Or we just have, like, in a very abstract sense, right? It's like, you know, here, you know, it's, you know, maybe yeah, you might give her a name, but, and she has, you know.
It's very heteronormative.
Yes. Well, I mean, ships are always females. I'm also reading Zweihänder, which, you know, for being a Warhammer, which I don't associate with modern times, like, made the decision to make all, like, half of the pronouns are female. So I was in, nice. I was like, oh, okay. And then I happened to see the guy who does Zweihänder talking with some guy, like, I can't believe I do RPGs to get away from this kind of SJW crap. I won't be buying any Zweihänder. And the Daniel Fox, who's the Zweihänder guy, is like, I see. Yeah, we don't need your business. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, go away.
Fuck you. Yeah, it's like, if that bothers you, like, just
go, wow. Go play 5e.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Quickly, get the books now before they change.
It's coming.
Yeah. And just go in your bunker and write your own screed on paper and you'll be fine. Let's see. Combine military hardware. So yeah, and it's a character, like you know, I'm thinking maybe we do it like with like a PBTA style, maybe it has tags or something, right? Like there's, you know, or like, you know, like the Millennium Falcon is a character, right? So,
oh, of course,
things
that's a
that,
great, yeah,
yeah,
great way of describing
things that, like, you know, it's the, like the most souped up piece of hardware, but sometimes in a pinch, you know, X and Y systems fail or whatever. We're going to define that as we go, but I wanted to get that out there. I think just because it's such a big part of your
quasi personality through temperament,
and even the Galactica.
I mean, yeah. That, oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a touch point for
yeah,
us.
I mean, that's the mm-hmm. character Galactica.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Perfect.
That's good.
Perfect. Perfect. Did we talk about, so your enclave, so we've got this world, you've got settlements, you know, there's some degree of normalcy. I think, I mean, if we want to go canon, like, we can talk about, I think the Nihon Empire invaded in the time, like, after the last war, right? So this would be during their invasion, right? So maybe we're role-playing during their invasion. But we can, you know, we can write the history we want to write. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit of Red Dawn.
Oh. That works for me.
Okay.
Yep.
So tell me why. Okay. So the group you're with, I think we have to figure out. I don't want to write that down before I forget. So why? You guys are veterans. You have a GV, but you're, you know, you're somewhere in the Pacific Northwest with a kind of a group of refugees. So How do we think that happened? And we can riff on Red Dawn here if, like, you know, maybe. Well, I want you guys to say. I have some ideas if you don't.
So I think my first inclination is it's probably maybe not 50%, maybe pretty close to 50% veterans.
Okay.
So it's survivors of the war. And what is the... can't remember though. What's the base there?
Oh, Lewis.
Fort Lewis.
Yeah.
Fort
Lewis. So maybe it's even something like that, like people who are stationed at Lewis or
it's Society. Lewis McCord, if you want. You got an Air Force base there, too.
Yeah, joint base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. BBLM.
My yes and to that would be maybe we are actually like Oregon National Guard.
Okay, and yeah, that's really, even better. That's better.
Really take it up a notch.
That's a real Wolverines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were veterans
together. Yeah.
Oh, and you guys can do this when you do your characters, but I'm thinking maybe you were in the war, but you mustered out and signed up for the guard, you know, a couple weekends a year. That's not right. And you still get, you know, maybe you get a benefits package that's hard to turn down or whatever. And then
society collapses.
And then
I'm all about basic
Neon invades and you know, get that, you know,
cheap PlayStation.
PX okay. Pork shoulder. It's good.
So your organ. So maybe it's your regiment, right? Maybe the refugees are the regiment and the people you've picked up along the way.
Yep.
Yeah, so you've got even more ragtaggy.
Yes, it does. This is good. This is good. I can put you in all kinds of trouble. I can see it. Yeah. The there was a couple, like, it was a surprise invasion. Combine was severely weakened from the last war. And, you know, they put up some resistance, but it just crumbled. And you guys saw the writing on the wall. Maybe your CO saw the writing on the wall. And you decided to bug out, right? Where were you guys based originally? You don't have to be there now. Well, we can decide this later. Somewhere in Oregon, obviously.
Yeah, maybe. Probably somewhere coastal. You know, if the Nihon are coming in, we probably would have been catching the first waves of it. So it could be.
Yeah, and if you're on the Oregon coast, it probably wouldn't have been an invasion point, but you could have seen it happening, and then maybe you even had to fight your way out, right? Maybe they came down and took over Portland and Seattle. maybe those are occupied zones.
Yeah, I was thinking like Seattle, Tacoma, and then we start heading down.
Okay,
so you could be in Washington National Guard, like the landing is like Seattle, Vancouver. And so maybe it's like almost like a Tacoma National Guard base.
Okay. And you guys get called up and you're given insane orders to like basically throw yourselves into this meat grinder, and your CEO says, "Fuck that."
Let's take the equipment we have.
Yeah. I like it. Disobeys orders and heads southeast, maybe. We could head into Eeyore's neck of the woods.
That actually is kind of interesting.
Yeah, because you would bet there's going to be enclaves out there, right? I mean, and interacting with
those enclaves. Well, there already are, but yeah,
I know. both in Washington and Oregon, if you go east.
Yeah.
I was devastated. So I spent a lot of time growing up in Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I became an adult, people were like, oh, yeah, all the right-wing militias. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not a thing. Like, Idaho is pretty well known for that. I'm like, I never heard anything about that. Oh, wow.
Those Cub Scouts.
Well, yeah, that's Cub Scout troop. That's probably part of it. all the scout leaders. Yeah, us one weekend and their militia the next, I guess.
All right. So starting to. So you guys are a maybe. How do you guys? So how long has it been since this started? Since you ran from SeaTac?
Oh, that is a good question.
Might be hot on the heels of it. You know, I'm thinking like less than 9 months. Not even a year.
That makes it still hot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that would explain why there's still diners and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. 9 months since the Eon invasion.
So there's a somewhat functioning economy, but the occupiers are kind of maybe taking a toehold. Maybe getting skirmishes.
Like so let's nice go and Red Donnie. Yeah.
So let's go back to your group. So maybe it's not even a regiment, right? I don't know how big a National Guard like outpost would be. Maybe it's a company.
I mean, functionally they drill in companies. They would function theoretically as a battalion, but I think mostly it's companies.
Okay.
I deployed with a company of National Guard.
Okay. Actually, this is interesting. So you are maybe. So how do you guys? So who you've got the core group of maybe a company ish. And I don't know what a company. So you'd be like a scout company or something, right? Like a recon, armored recon. Maybe you're just a pure GEV unit. Maybe you've got, I don't know, you guys tell me what's the makeup of your company.
Actually, let me take that back. I think we deployed as a battalion.
Okay.
So we had
usually a few companies, right? Three or four.
Let me think. Jesus Christ.
It's about four companies or so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. Like, are we? We were, it was one company. People. We were, four platoons, one company, and then broke. Yeah. I think probably it would be a company. So I think that does make sense.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense. You know, if we only have a handful of GEVs left at that company,
you guys are going to be the GEV jockeys. To me, like when we were first talking about this, you're always going to have heavier units, but you know they're not going to like you're not going to send the heavy tanks out on patrol, right? That's not what they're for. Those, save those. But look, here is a
where's the ogre TONE?
Here's a cavalry battalion.
All right,
So maybe we're like a scout platoon.
See if I can paste this. Why can't I paste you? Why can't I select this? Is it selecting and I just can't see it? There's an armor squadron with GEVs. They have an artillery battalion, engineering company, armored personnel carriers, which are GEVs. This is like a Marines. Well, you could be that if you wanted to. More of an infantry. Although this is like, armored cav. So this whoever's put this together, what is this? Pan Pacific units, interesting. It would have RD GEVs and then like a set of infantry on GEV transports and hover trucks, and then some artillery.
That might be kind of interesting. Yeah, that checks out.
Okay. I'll have to see if I can copy this. So we'll say battalion level. So you guys like the idea? I mean, we could also do an armor battalion, which would probably have GEVs attached to it also. But what do you like?
I like scouty. Light and scrappy.
Okay, so armored.
Yeah, and especially for guard, we're not gonna have all the heavy stuff.
Yeah, armor cav I think is good.
Okay, infantry plus light arty. Lots of GVs. Okay. All right, so tell me, So it's been 9 months since SeaTac fell. You guys got the hell out of Dodge. How often do you move? How do you get food? Or do we want to talk about how many hangers-on you have? What kind of situation are you guys in after 9 months?
Here's where you get into some interesting aspects of Combine society.
Mm-hmm.
Just before I napped, that's about as far as I got. But you know, everybody has their place, and everybody has their assigned place. You're essentially a cog that the government decides where you're going to fit in. So it would make sense that naturally the inclination would be anybody who comes in, contributes, and is going to further the greater whole. And then I think there's some interesting conflict that's going to come in, because Combine society is not shoot from the hip and independent initiative, and that's how we get by now. So right. I think there's a combination of that. So I wonder. So to answer the question, I would think initially there would have been some sort of min-maxing and optimization of like, okay, who's in the group and who's not, who's going to, you know, further the combat effectiveness of this group, and then after time. Maybe we start picking up some other people, and they're not necessarily the perfect cog, but they still contribute.
How about, can you tell me a story? I'm going to put you on the spot, Pete. Tell me a story about the point where you think that changed. What, you know, is there a story that you, that's out there? Like,
that's a great question.
The point where, you went from like you were a semi-cohesive military unit, you know, basically maybe trying to flee and regroup to fight another day, to okay, this is the new state of the world, and something happened, and you know, we have to readjust, and you know, we no longer can accept the hierarchical shit in our society and that kind of stuff.
That's a great question. And Jason, help out. it's that good of a question.
In my head, and you can go a different direction, but I want to seed it with perhaps it was, you know, innocence, and they needed to be protected, and someone had to make a call, right? And like, if you'd left them where they were, this is just what I'm thinking, but you could go a different direction, right? And then that's when you became, you no longer were like, you no longer work Combine military, right? Now you're like, okay, we've done our thing.
Yeah, I had the same seed in my head, and it was around, okay, maybe there was a mechanic that we needed, and that mechanic had a family, and there was just no way anybody could feel good about leaving that family behind. And you know, purely from a societal standpoint, I think somebody recognized that that mechanic would not be effective if his family was left behind to die. He would not be as fully functional, you know, to be that hard and cold about it. But then I think people just warmed up a little bit and started to realize that, hey, there's just an intrinsic value to life, whether or not they're the perfect cog. You know, people need that support around them to be able to function the way that they do. So there's a slight change in thinking now that the perfect society is gone, and some things that we took for granted have to be reasserted.
Very nice. So how big is your group now? How many combat effectives? How many family, women, children, non-combat effective? We can leave it rough.
Maybe 200.
Okay. 200 total?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds about right. 200 total. Maybe
so like
half.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, 100,
Yeah, half sounds about right. You know, somebody's 50%. Got a somebody's got a significant other. Some are loners. Mm-hmm. Some have, right. You know, two of their children. That's you know, perfect. What have yeah. you? It's a little mix.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you would have started off probably with many more, but maybe this is interesting. Maybe when you initially maybe people peeled off. Because initially you were trying to stay as a combat unit and people went AWOL to try and protect their families. And, you know, maybe it was that along with this, you know, hey, you know, our shit's breaking down. We really need this guy to join. And, you know, if we don't start letting people bring their significant others along, we're just going to start attriting people. So maybe you even went back and pulled some of the families of the other soldiers in, right? And maybe there were some tragedies there where it was too late for some folks, and maybe people are bitter about that.
That's really good. That adds some that adds some scratchy edges, sharp edges rather to the crew. I like that a lot. Yeah, you put a fine point on it. I think the initial bringing on of people was born out of pragmatism, but I think that point of view is evolving, and like a real hard and cold. Combine pragmatism, like, you know, to get the cog we need, we have to make some compromises, and they're not necessarily seen as compromises anymore.
Yep, I like it. I like it a lot. So you got about 100 combat effectives. We would want definitely, you know, if we're going to have drop-ins, you know, you would have to have a full complement of your GVV, your scouts, your scout squadrons. You know, you realized in this kind of environment, you know, those are probably your most effective weapon. You know, the artillery, it's going to be hard to use. Do you even have any artillery left? Let's say maybe you have like 4 squadrons of like 1 to 2 GUVs each.
Maybe we have 1 TAC nuke left.
Okay. Well, I was doing some reading today. You can fire TAC nukes are a warhead type, and GEVs would carry 80 of them.
Wow.
What? Yes. That many?
I was thinking they were fired by an 80 millimeter Gauss cannon. They'd be 0.1 kiloton, but you know, 0.1 kiloton is enough to make someone have a really bad day.
I was kind of thinking the howitzer loaded TAC nuke, something a little larger.
Okay, so yeah, maybe you've got one howitzer with you know, some small complement of one howitzer with diminished ammunition left.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you want to have you know, you still have a full company of infantry. And enough GEV hover trucks to carry them.
One interesting thing might be to plot out where depots are, because I would imagine that's part of our subsistence is going in and raiding or parlaying or exactly. What have you, you know, and being that combined society, I would imagine is pretty industrialized and militarized. There would be depots or
so points of interest. Plenty. How do you eat? So you're basically you're raiding old combine depots at this point, it sounds like. Right? Other National Guards, raiding combine depots. Maybe mercenary work for independent.
I don't know. Are we there yet?
Maybe not. Maybe it's not mercenary per se, or it's kind of a the remnants of like they see you guys as the combine that's there to protect them, and they're giving you food because you're their protector. So it's kind of a
almost like mafia
of mercenary. So
more than like hired guns.
Right, quid pro quo combine, but yeah, this can lead to some, yeah, you know, if you have to choose between your enclave surviving and protecting the town that's fed you, you know, this could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How often would you guys say you move?
A larger question might be operationally, what are we trying to accomplish? You know, if we're just trying to subsist, it'd be more nomadic versus, oh, we're going to go and get those Nihon sons of bitches and we're going to do this and we're just...
And, well, and, you know, you guys aren't going to be the CO, but we can decide this. You know, what are the members of the Enclave being told they're trying to accomplish? What are you actually trying to accomplish?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah. That's the question. So on an immediate Maslow's pyramid standpoint, we're definitely just trying to make sure we got the gear and the food that we need to subsist and remain combat effective. So those are the immediate goals. The larger one, I don't know. That's a good question, Jason. I mean, what do you think? I mean, how much command is still present and how beholden are we to them? And
yeah, I am seeing it kind of nomadic to where, you know, we'll set up camp for maybe even a week or two, but we don't have like a base of operations maybe. And then we're kind of running skirmish in front or behind or to the side of what the main camp is doing to kind of create that cav wall. And yeah, maybe there is, you know, maybe higher ups are looking east, you know, go settle in Mount Rainier or somewhere like that.
I like that a lot. I like there being a big question about what command is actually, what their intentions are. I like that hanging question there.
Right.
You know,
yeah, you guys are just grunts, right? You were told something, you know, maybe you were initially told, hey, we're going to head to the east to regroup and we're going to come back and support. But it's been maybe a little longer than you would have expected that to take. And, you know, you guys are really having to fight for your survival. And now you're starting, like, your military discipline's breaking down and you're wondering if you haven't been told that the priorities have changed, but maybe they really have, and maybe you wonder.
Yeah, maybe where's HQ located? Is that like Boise or Bozeman? You know, where?
That's a good question.
You know, I imagine it's not as near as Spokane. You know, if you really start thinking about it, all right, you know, the Nihon have a toehold, what kind of base have they established, and who's got air superiority, and go on.
You don't know where HQ is.
All right.
Maybe he's a fairly charismatic and forceful man, and he's been leading you, he's been holding you together. Maybe it's a CO and a couple of his senior level. I don't know. We can define that. There'll probably be some dysfunction there. But you know, he will occasionally call and say, well, HQ told us we need to do this. But you know, at this point, you're not totally sure that he's just not, you know, that there is someone from the official combine, because things have broken down, right?
Yep.
Is he really being told?
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Is he cloaking it in the HQ told me to do this so that he's not the bad guy and this is really what he wants to do?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like the whole thing of like who really is in charge and what are the objectives and don't even know where they are.
Yeah, so
your security and ours, our location is not divulged.
NPC.
Are they in Cheyenne in the mountainside?
Yeah.
Are they in DC? No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. That gives you some good GMing opportunities.
Oh, sure.
Really,
it does.
Really fuck with us. And for us to get angry with you, but in the best possible way.
Yes, yes. Nihon occupying force. I'm answering some questions here. What is the interaction between neighboring groups? Occupying force, war, independent, or let's say small towns, generally supportive. Let's see, other questions I got here. Climate, weather, seasons, So we'll say pretty standard Pacific Northwest. I don't think that would have changed. There's not enough heavy nukes to really change anything. I'm getting the sense, maybe we want to play this more straight. I mean, the tac nukes are not heavy radiation. There's probably some heavy radiation zones. You can give me the freedom to say, like, you know, Redmond and the east side of Seattle, maybe there's some mutations that have, maybe there's some whisperings of some weird stuff to just give me that little spice. But I think for you guys, for your characters, what I'm the sense of, you're going to be straight up human.
A lot of
military experience. So what I'm thinking is like 150 points sounds about reasonable.
Okay.
Which is what we started with in Traveler. You can make, I mean, that's, it's on the borderline between, great and exceptional human. So, all right.
I feel like I'm somewhere in between there.
get experience. Yeah. Some places.
We've been using the workout at home app. We're
exactly.
We're good.
Places with
working on my
apparently,
core.
Well, apparently, all it takes to describe me is 90 points. So that's all I'm saying. as long as you give me my full suite of disadvantages, anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is that white event stuff that you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of which, season 2 of The Boys is coming up soon. Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that. Yeah. Oh. I need to.
Hit that first episode right away after we wrap this up.
Oh, yeah.
If you're awake. Yeah. It's that good.
Yeah.
It's that good. Randy Quaid's kid, who plays the co-lead along with I can't remember the actor's name, but he played Dredd and Aomer and anyway, outstanding. Those two are just fantastic. And the one superhero, Homelander, what a motherfucker, but he's so good. You just gotta see it.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, we've answered a lot of these questions. Like remnants of past technology, we're really not doing a post-apocalyptic thing. Then it's kind of during apocalypse.
Yeah, apocalyptic.
Let me look through these questions. How are men, women, children?
Let me grab a quick refill.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Let me just check on Craig here. I am writing this down, which should be helpful. But it's always good to have the recording as a backup.
Oh, good Lord. I can't do Greyhawk without it, I'll tell you that.
I know. You do face-to-face stuff. I've tried to, instead of using the recording, take notes and... I mean, I read my notes later and it's comical how bad they are. It's like, it'll be like red hair, sword,
frog.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like staff of power. And I'll be like, I have no idea what that is.
Pita chips. Wait, no, that's the grocery list.
Damn it.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in my face-to-face group. My bestest buddy in the whole world, who I think you've met at Game On, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
We've known each other for 75 years. You can't forget his name. Everybody meet my new best friend. Mm-hmm. And he is a fantastic chronicler. And over the That's years that we've been playing, he does the Randy recap. So he always comes in with a recap, and sometimes it's a newsletter, and sometimes it's a real estate ad, and sometimes it's a transcript of the Mueller report. I mean, it's just taken so many different forms over the years, and he's great. So I will take loose notes as DM, But he comes in and he has all the areas shaded in. So I'm like, thank God for Randy. He's been my enabler for years anyway. Yeah. So
that's what we're really, I mean, we had Gersh for a while, but he's really kind of fallen down on the job. So, you know, we need a Randy Dickey for the.
we do.
Listen, we listeners, do. If you're listening, if you think that you're a good chronicler, I will invite you to every RPG I run. I mean,
God, I miss Gersh.
Yeah, he should be. I think he's on Wednesday night. I'll be role playing with him. So I still got him in two things, actually. Yeah.
Oh, is he in White Rock with you? Or
he's in White Rock, and we're kicking off Oddity High again. Yeah, he is a cat, and his magic power is that he transforms into a bigger cat, bigger porcelain cat,
a lucky cat.
It just cracks me up. It's absolutely hilarious, and yet so anime. It's perfect. Yeah, this is good stuff. Let's see, where were we? I'm taking notes here. I think I can probably, the questions I had, and you guys can tell me, I think these are all, I think for, with what we've defined, they're all answerable. How are men, women, children treated? You know, we can, it's still kind of the modern day, which resources are abundant, which are scarce, the Red Dawn-esque, right? You know, I can make things scarce like fuel or, you know, some components you need to get your GEVs running. You know, I'm just going to write Red Dawn for all these. And I'm kind of liking that we're doing GEV Red Dawn. I may have to change the name.
Very comfortable. Very comfortable. Yes. Well, you did see my Jennifer Gray postings.
I did. Oh, I replied to it.
Oh, man, my heart skipped a beat in 1985 when I saw her manning that LMG.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Da-da-da-da. So yeah, since we're kind of pulling on, we can use, you know, we can define the combine. You know, we can use kind of the sketch that's in that book, but you know, I think we can modify it as we see fit. It doesn't have to be the totalitarian quite. But that does introduce that interesting, like, hey, we're used to this regimentation, and you know now things are breaking down. So I think it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna write. So I think
entropy can be fun.
Yes, exactly. All right, I'm trying to think what other questions that we might have to answer. Languages. All this is up in the air. Is there a writ language? It's still the same. This is an interesting one. How, like we talked about this kind of quid pro quo. How has the monetary system broken down yet or not yet?
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah, so maybe barter?
No.
Maybe there's rampant inflation.
Yeah, maybe like some local script. And then mostly barter.
Okay, that's interesting. Local script.
Yeah, and anybody who had digital coin of any is bankrupt.
Right.
Sorry, you Bitcoin fuckers.
It was bound to fail.
Combine society.
That's why I still buy books on paper.
Yeah.
Word to that. Can't pull that off my Kindle.
Just please.
Jeff Bezos, you come in here and pull books That's off right. my bookshelf.
I've got all my files on vacuum tube backups.
Hell yeah. Just in case.
Just in case the EMP hits.
That's right. I'm glad you didn't say EMP pulse. That's good. So remnant combine buildings, settlements. What do people eat, drink? So let's say the large cities are supported, are occupied, survivors in camps, maybe. Yeah, there could be some, I could see missions, maybe some of the folks who it was too late to get their maybe their families are trapped in Seattle or in the Tacoma area, and you know, maybe there's some illicit missions to go rescue.
I like them.
Camps, Nihon Empire, victuals. All right. Let's see. This is pretty good. Do you guys want to flesh out? So, you know, maybe we could even flesh out. So let's talk about your characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking we don't need to build them now, but we can give you an idea of kind of what direction to go. So
sure.
Are you guys thinking you'll be a pilot gunner combo?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think so.
And Jason, did I hear you want to be the gunner? Or do you want to have that discussion with Pete? Or do you want to do that up in the air?
What do you think, Pete?
No preference. Goose or Mav, I'm fine either way.
Yeah.
But I would never be like, even if I'm Mav, I'm not going to be Mav.
I think the Mav position in a GEV, like the talent, like the gunner could easily have the attitude of a Maverick in a GEV, right?
That's kind of what I'm wondering. Yeah. Is the pilot the hotshot or is the gunner the hotshot?
I think either one or both of them could be, depending on how you guys want to play it, right? I mean, certainly it's not like you're just a radar guy. You're an actual gunner. You've got a lot of things going on. But being a hot shot, Tokyo Drift kind of guy in a GV might also.
That's true.
So it's open to you guys. You guys don't even have to decide now. But we'll see.
Gunner. Well, I think we should decide on who's gunner and who's pilot. If that's how we're.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because others, yeah, like from a skills perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, we should definitely think like that now. Yeah. I'm Jason, no preference, really.
Yeah, go guns.
Okay. Yeah, and you can tell me what your relationship's like too. Is it Goose and Maverick? Is it, because if you could both be hot shots and maybe it's a little Maverick and Maverick. I don't know. I feel like Jason wants to be a goose, though.
I'm always a goose. Even when I don't want to be. I mean, I don't mind if there's not a strong personality. I see it if especially if we're going to play a two-player, it's almost like a buddy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys got to get along at some level.
Yeah,
there's got to be maybe a little friendly competition or but
right.
Definitely. All right. Well,
counts as one orc.
I was gonna say like Legolas and Gimli, like well into Return of the King.
There you go.
Nice. Where it's friendly competition, the racism is past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
One
I don't know. The phrase that comes to mind for me is an unassuming warrant officer from Tillamook, Oregon, whose families once tended to the dairy vats.
Yeah.
The combined dairy vats. I don't know. That's just a little something that came up. That could be the third IPA. That could be the third IPA.
I like it. Sure.
I'll work on it. Just spitballing. But I do love the way the pre-generated names were both able to truncate and come up with something.
Very futuristic.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to go as far as setting the initial scene for our first adventure?
I need a little character time. Well, okay. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
If it feeds character development, then yes, because I'm still kind of super loose on who Maki is.
Okay. It's just a suggestion. Yeah. I've got enough in here to generate a whole bunch of stuff. It's just if you have a like something you'd really like that would really get you fired up.
If you have a scene that you want to start us off on, maybe you kind of describe it and we kind of curve and then we build the character.
That would jumpstart it. Yeah,
okay, that jumped. Want to try and do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, give it, I don't give feel
scene. On the spot. Let's see.
Well, if we can build characters, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm kind of picturing we're obviously in the GV. We're out on our own. What are we doing? Are we looking for something?
Yeah.
Then are we looking for food, or are we doing a raid on a maybe?
How about, go ahead.
I was like, repair parts.
Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, you've heard. So you know, your lieutenant came to you, Moki and
Albrio.
Albrio, it's like, all right, boys. I'm gonna have to get up Google Maps here just so I get.
I had my map up. I was zoomed in on Longview, Washington.
Mm-hmm. do we want to be down there? That we could be. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I was just there.
Okay. Because that's where Tyler's from originally, isn't it? Yeah, and Longview's a great one. So you guys are actually let's just go with this. You've been camped out by Silver Lake.
All right.
You guys have just you know, maybe a month ago you fought a running engagement with the Nihon forces up outside of you know, maybe outside of Chehalis, and you had to fall back.
I like it.
You found an old campground by Silver Lake, which is right off of the Castle Rock exit, which is on the road to Mount St. Helens.
Yep.
So there, you there was a campground there, had some, you know, basic facilities, and that was enough. You know, you guys have, you know, tents and prefab stuff. You get, you know, you're a scout unit. You're used to setting up camp. You've been here for a couple weeks. Your LT comes to you and says, "Hey, Abrio and Moqui, yeah, we're running low on, you know, we're running low on the flux capacitors that we need."
The who's he, what's it?
The CO told me he's got a hot lead from HQ on a warehouse in Longview. It's got a whole, you know, five or six pallets of these things. But, you know, you guys, I think you've got enough carrying capacity in that clunker of yours, whatever you call her. I think you've got enough capacity to get those things back. Can't afford to send anybody else out with you. You know, all our info, you know, every patrol we sent out says the Nihon guys are still kind of licking their wounds up in Chehalis and not ready to head south, but you know, they may have advanced elements, and who the hell knows what's going on down in Morgan. Yeah. So, you know, it's a probably 100-mile trip to Longview, and you know, it's basically unknown terrain. You know, I need you guys to gear up and get out there and see if you can get those flux capacitors for us. And so, you know, the opening scene would be that.
I like that.
And maybe with you guys, you're talking about it or something like that. So I like it.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
And you guys can either talk about your characters now, or we can end there. And you guys can think about them on your own. Because, yeah, you're going to have, before we can actually play, you'll have to come up with your character. You guys wanna,
how many points do we get?
150.
Okay, standard. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to marinate on my character. Jason, that doesn't preclude you from riffing if you want to right now. Yeah. I feel like I need to marinate a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about characters for a short time anyway. So
yeah, so I'm looking at... so I'm looking at gunner stuff specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Uh,
It's going to be a can here. Situation. Yeah.
Get into GEB. Yeah. The GEB would have like a, what's it called? A laws or something, or like a, you know, like a machine gun and maybe a, and some sort of cannon. Right. So let's look and see. So it would be under gunnery, guns probably. So
top root, left and right. Yeah, so Gauss
gunner,
cannon.
Gunner, yeah.
Rail guns.
Yeah, cannon. And machine gun. You'd probably have both. Yeah, so you guys are going to definitely want probably high DX for both of you. Now think about, you know, think about your character's history, right? What did he do in the combine? You know, you can flesh out his you know, give him some disadvantages from some PTSD he might have or something. you're definitely going to want combat skills outside the GEV. Don't forget those.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm just gonna christen him as Maki. It's just kind of like Mei Mai. I'm gonna call him Maki.
Got it.
I'm gonna say Maki is a guy who likes to get under the hood of his own rig and do a little work cooter style.
Okay.
And yeah, he likes to get in there and soup things up. So he's got a bit of an engineering background.
Okay. Yep. Take some engineer. There's some like mechanics. Like engineering is more like kind of building stuff. And then I think.
Yeah, I think he's more mechanic and soup it up like, you know, like the
guy I think you want more mechanic because that's going to be an easier skill. And unless you want to build new things, you don't
That'd
really
be more need engineering. That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You definitely like one thing to always consider. I'm getting better at thinking about how GURPS work. So combat reflexes have a lot of advantages. And you guys could easily argue that you have those. Let's look at skills because sometimes those are or advantages. I mean, not skills. You know, I would even like if you guys want to take. You know, some if you want to throw some weird like mutant stuff in there, I would even accept it. There's actually I can give you a PDF if you want. There's a D66 table of mutations, which you know makes me happy for reasons.
It only gives me an excuse to use a certain set of dice that was custom made.
The problem is they all cost a lot, but you know, I could be probably convinced yeah, it's a pyramid magazine. I can give you the PDF. But it's, you know, you or you could just look through and see if, you know, because you guys are veterans, right? You would have been riding through craters and stuff. And so maybe something happened. I'm okay. And maybe Moki and, or Moki? Did we say Moki?
Moki.
Maki.
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 We're turning it into a drinking
game. Drinking game, of course. And Albrio. You know, were they veterans together, do you guys think? Or were they, did they meet up at this National Guard unit?
No, I think they're like a battle buddy. I think they ran this.
Okay. And they,
this
they
GV. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yep. I like the buddiness. Yes. Yeah. If you guys want to roll on the mutation chart and just see if something, cryogenic kiss. Lower the temperature of your breath to nearly absolute zero. Attack using DX or NA.
Well, that's like what happened to me at the junior high dance. I took too many Tic Tacs. Almost froze her lips off.
Nice.
Who am I kidding? I never kissed anybody. A complete lie.
Ooh, steel like bone spur, man. Some interesting stuff in here. Yeah, take a look at those. It might make it interesting. And because, you know, because there is radiation. Yeah, I like a little gamma world thrown in the mix.
Sure.
And so, from a driving perspective, what are we calling the GV? Hovercraft?
Yeah, hovercraft, yeah.
Take a little craft.
I just want to move these counters around on the map.
Can you? You should be able to.
I am. It's just like when I play now.
Yep. Yeah, and I talked about, like, if there are, I mean, we're definitely at some point going to be using the GEV rules maybe multiple times. And there's even, if you, you know, once you get past the napping stage, they even have rules for using GEV and Ogre in GURPS, which is, like, basically, if you, when you're running your GEV, you roll, you know, Pete would roll a driving roll. If he passes, you get an extra movement point. And Jason would do a driving roll, and if he passes, you get a plus one on the CRT for an attack. So, because and it's a D6 CRT, so that's pretty big. But yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, of course the GURP, the GEV rules are real simple, but you know, we can tell a nice story with them because it's just going to be you guys and a whole host of other guys. You know, and maybe I'll have to throw in some search and detection rules or something like that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm liking it. And I've already got the first scenario ready to rock. And we've got, so you guys were buddies. I will give you this. I will throw you these PDFs.
And Samer's joining us eventually, right?
I think so. He certainly will. It's open to him.
That's right. We kind of have it like, you know, guest starring Forrest Tucker.
Exactly.
Lieutenant Bird Dog.
That's right.
Why I called up Forrest Tucker. I don't know. It just seemed like a, seemed like a something of that era.
If you want to spend all your points on military skills, but then at some point, like, you know, maybe there's something that happens and you pick up a mutation, that might be cool too. So we can keep that option open.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So, but it's fun to look through. I love reading through the mutations. Now, I mean, ones that wouldn't probably be good, like they have a whole thing where like there's a, what do they call it? Freakish. You get a freakishness score. So I will put a limit on the freakishness. so in GURPS, the freakishness gives you points back because, you know, you look like a freak. That's going to affect your reaction rolls and stuff. But I think it wouldn't really work. We'd have to spin a story somehow. Or it happens on one of the missions, and then you have that disadvantage. So we'll have to
see. Keely Funk.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
I'm going to take low empathy.
That's gonna be hard for you to roleplay.
Yeah.
I would like to see that. I'm in for a non-empathetic Jason. All in.
I keep trying in the MERPS thing. I keep like I have like callous and like disregard for human life and stuff, and I'm like, Dave's not letting me roleplay.
You're roleplaying it pretty well.
Am I? Okay. Maybe that's just my default. Mm-hmm. Certainly scared.
Doesn't shine
scared through. The bejeebies out of C-Rac in our Twilight 2000 thing. But anyway,
I need to listen to those. Matter of fact, for the upcoming family road trip, that one's getting loaded up.
Those are pretty fun. Yeah,
there's good weapon GURPSman's talk in there.
Yeah, he did his research and like we have suppression and all kinds of shit.
Nice.
Yeah, and. Yeah, and then pay attention for as C-Rack becomes more and more dismayed with how atrocious my character is. I'm like, well, he puts us in this situation. It's like,
you asked for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, yeah. I mean, I don't want to do spoilers, but he was thinking that this whole gypsy wedding would be a thing we were going to do to. I'm like, nope, not going. Nope.
Move on.
Why would I go to that? It's like,
yeah. I'm ready. How many episodes in are you guys?
Two?
I think three.
Three?
Right? Yeah,
three.
I think it's three.
There's three. And C-Rack bailed because he's working two jobs or some other lame ass bullshit. So,
yeah, that should be a good portion of the drive.
Yeah, no, they're quality. Yeah, it's me, Rex, and Ty. And Ty gets Ty plays the slightly nervous corporal who my character starts disobeying almost immediately.
I like it
already. Dave was going to be the lieutenant, you know, who's been on 37 simulated combat missions. But he turned it out being an NPC because I guess Dave didn't have the time to play. So, yeah. No, I told you I was channeling Skinner with he's a combat medic. Who
oh, nice.
Has absolutely no empathy.
Kind of psychotic.
Nice. That's good. It's a good combination.
It is. It's a good character. I've told you before, like, I want to write fanfic for Skinner and all those guys.
We'll get back to it someday. I'm looking forward
to
it.
We will.
Definitely. And I'm going to drop one quick thing because I had a lovely Saturday morning bike ride in the rain, came home, said, fuck it, I'm not doing anything else for this day aside from pouring a couple beers and playing Voyager, the BSM Pandora.
Nice.
And I texted Jason. I'm like, oh, what if somebody used this as a mission generator for Star Frontiers?
Ooh, I like it.
So that's kicking.
I'd be in on a Star Frontiers game in a second. I think Mitch would too. Mitch and I have talked about Star Frontiers.
All right. You guys are on the short list. But I before that will be Reuniti on Ice for our original Jersey 83. That's in the works.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's
a must.
That's definite. Oh yeah. It makes me chubby.
Yeah, the PBTA book for Monster of the Week is coming with me on vacation.
Very nice
book. So
it's going. How long are you going for? A long 4th of July weekend or something?
Oh, that'll be after 4th of July. So we're going to go for a week.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Going to rent a house somewhere? Or?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to go out. And I won't say because our listener, I don't want our listener to come and stalk me. But, but we are going out renting a house for a week. And there will be plenty of outdoor activity. And then, also drinking beer and writing in a PPTA notebook.
Man, that matter of fact, so
I have
good.
That. I have that. Jason, I think you have one too. The notebooks that are modeled after the Atari 2600 cartridges.
Oh. I don't have that.
That's oh, okay. Yeah.
You mean like the rule book for that size?
It's just a big black square notebook with the adventure sticker for Atari 2600 on. I'm like, all right, this is the one. This PBTA adventure is the one that I'm going to christen that notebook. So
nice.
That's coming with.
Nice.
I can hear my eyes rolling already, so it's perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be working on this. I also, I had bought Forbidden Lands from Free League a long time ago, and that's the one where it's a hex crawl. And it's really, really nice because we've been playing Alien. And I love that system where it's a dice pool and you push it and you get more stress. And Forbidden Lands has a similar mechanic, except when you push it, you like break your weapon or you take damage. It's really, really interesting. So that's one I think that might be next for me.
Is that the one that you need Tabletop Simulator to run?
That's the one I posted, Tabletop Simulator. There's a Roll20 module that also looks pretty good. So we've got options.
Good.
The problem I have with Tabletop Simulator, we did Tabletop Simulator for Traveler, and if anyone has shitty computer power or internet, it blows. So that's why I might stick with Roll20. Because, you know, I like Tabletop Simulator a lot, but I'm even, we'll play family games and stuff, and it's... But my son and I want to play High Frontier. So he has a copy of Tabletop Simulator. So we've been playing Tabletop Simulator, but I have not bought him a powerful enough laptop to play it well. So we're struggling with that.
Yeah.
Like it crashed like three times on Sunday. so I'm like, I'm buying a new laptop. So maybe it's all part of it.
I like that. I like the enablement going on there. Yeah. This is what it's all about.
But yeah.
Enablement.
We're having a blast. So. It's good. It'll be his Christmas present. He'll just get it early. How about that?
Such a dad move.
Oh, yeah. It is.
I am what I am.
An enlightened dad move.
for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah. He, you know, honestly, because like he won't even care because he gets whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And like it comes to Christmas, like, what do you want for Christmas? You know, like we have to ask him like 20 times before he, like, and like hold his feet to the fire to actually get him to tell us something. And, you know, my parents and my father-in-law are all like, what's he want? What's he want? Like, because apparently I'm responsible for like organizing his list for them. It's like,
yes.
Are you
yes.
people not adults? I mean, well, we don't know what he like. You can talk to, he's capable of speech. but anyway. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, this way, actually, because then the grandparents can contribute, and it's all, it's win-win-win-win. So, but anyway. Yeah, I think we're at a good point. I've got plenty of material to work on. We've even got our first adventure. You know, I can have all sorts of fun fleshing this out in my regular old notebook. I don't have fancy notebooks. I do actually have a fancy notebook. I have, a leather one that Swede gave me. But I never like want to write in those because I'm like, well,
it's what nice.
If I screw up.
Yeah.
I have my.
Hey, there's no screwing up. It's all just happy accidents, right?
But I'm not that. That's not how I operate. That's not how my mind works, Pete.
Yeah.
I bought like a 5-pack of nice notebooks from Costco. But they were cheap, right? So I don't mind. So I have like one of them I use for DCC, and like there's like grease stains on it, and then I draw like a sword in the grease stain to like.
It could be.
Yeah, but then the drawings make me happy, so it all works out. My White Rock notebook is probably my best RPG notebook, but that's in it. There's a lot going on in that, but the nice thing is it's all there, so I just got to read it. All 750 pages of it.
Yeah,
but it's one of your best acquisitions, though.
It is like it just hangs together. Like they've thought about like why the hell are all these different like why are there orcs on this level and you know dark dwarves on this level? Spoiler alert. you know, they have this economy going, and these guys are kind of angry at these guys, and so I like that. You know, they've put some thought into it. It's nice. It's just not the Caves of Chaos, and there's all these guys in the hills. Although even Caves of Chaos has a little bit of thought put into it, but I don't know. Maybe B1 was a little crazy. Oh no, I read B1 too. B1 has a little bit of a story behind it too. It's all good.
It brings us joy.
It does. It does. Are we doing Greyhawk this week?
No, we're on a Greyhawk hiatus until David returns from his escrow and relocation and all that. Yeah, it's going to take quite a bit of work on my part to get. Let's just, you know, we all know where we're going. We're going to expedition on the Barrier Peaks, and that's a lot of prep on yours truly part.
Yes,
to make it right for you guys, to make it right for you guys.
Yep.
So I'm super excited. I've already been putting in some work, and I'm like, yeah. mm-hmm. I do make sounds. I vocalize when I'm doing crap.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Those kinds of things.
Nice. All right, boys. Well, how are you guys feeling? You guys have enough, you think, to?
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah, I have 19 points to spend.
Really, you've already spent. You've got GCS up.
131.
Perfect.
Combat reflexes, awesome. Gunslinger, manual dexterity, increased base speed, less sleep.
Do we want to throw gun foo stuff in there? This is some of the stuff just, Dave used. Do you have the PDF?
I was thinking Gunslinger might apply. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll look at it.
Got air knowledge, driving, electronics operation, electronics repair.
The basic book, or is that in the?
Yeah, it's in B58.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the basic set.
Okay, it is. Actually, the gunslinger in Gunfu gives you extra stuff. Interesting.
Yeah, I still have that printout too.
I don't think gun is gunslinger.
Just not remind me. I've got the PDFs, of course. So. I mean, you have the repo too. You could find, but I can find it for you. But yeah, I mean, feel free to go pull stuff like that out too if you want. We could definitely do a little gunfu. Maybe not to the point of the gunslinger campaign, but
I think it would still apply with limits, right? Because it says you can make uncannily precise shots without aiming.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to cost you some points, but yeah, I think
that's fine. As long as you can guarantee our GEV will go faster than 6 miles per hour in our combat in this campaign, I'm happy.
So yeah, I mean, did you see? I even statted out I found in Ultratech there's GEV, there's hovercraft stats.
Oh, I did not click on that. Oh yeah, there it is.
So interestingly enough, so the armored hovercraft, they have a armored hovercraft, hover jeep, and a hover tank. The fastest one is the armored hovercraft. The Move 550 is so it can accelerate 5 yards per turn. So that's nice. So you can say turn one from a stop, I'm going 5. Next turn, I'm going 10. Next turn, I'm going 15. I think I might want to tweak this a little bit. Because I think I think your GV can go fast. 50 yards a second is only like 75 miles an hour.
That seems slow for GEV.
Yeah, so I think you're going to have a higher top speed. You may even get more acceleration out of it because the GEV is mobility, right? It's mobility personified with a bit of a gun on it. but just don't take it in a swamp.
Ooh, right.
It's not super swampy up there.
It could be.
It could be. That's 200 years future. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Longview could have gotten swampy. Who knows?
I love a swampy Longview.
This is great. Thank you guys very much.
So stoked we're doing this.
Yep. I will do a doodle. It's nice that it's just the three of us too. So maybe we can get one.
Make it easier. Yeah.
I'm not sure. End of July is probably going to be my first opening. Probably for
same.
You guys.
So same. Yeah.
We'll shoot for that. Maybe early August at the latest. And we'll do a session one and see how it goes.
Dig it. Hell yeah. And then we'll be on the rock. I'll be generating some character shit. I'll be throwing some stuff out there, so we will pregame there.
Exactly. All right, boys.
Outstanding. Awesome. Very
good. Okay. You guys have a good night.
Yeah. All right. You too.
All right. I guess. How do I turn it off? Too. I always like click out of.
You do the little hang up thing.